And welcome to our podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. I am so thrilled to have on the line with me Ivy Lou. She is on the school board in School District 49, and she's running for re-election. Ivy, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you for having me.
Education. People are really waking up about how important the education of our children are. And as we are looking what's happening across our country, it's been astounding in a kind of a mixed blessing, if you will, from the whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption. And that is having kids at home online. Parents have seen what our kids are being taught. And I think it's really awakened a bunch of parents to some of the things we need to be concerned about in education, Ivy.
Oh, definitely. And I'm not one of those parents anymore. My youngest one empty nested 3 years ago. But yes, there has been a lot of awakening, and I was one of them because I was not very involved. You know, as long as my kids were doing okay at school, and I made sure they were, and I was very, you know, cognizant of what they were learning and so on. But many parents woke up to what's going on in the schools. What they are learning, what they perhaps are not learning. This is not in any way to bash any one school district, especially mine, because B49 is one of the top districts in the El Paso County, if not close to the top or the top. But the thing is, there are holes that needs to be addressed. And of course, and sadly, a percentage of families are not at home to make sure the kids are learning during that period. So we're talking gigantic holes coming out of that, where kids didn't do any learning. They didn't probably didn't even show up in front of the you know, TV monitor or whatever, computer or whatever it is. So a lot of things happened during COVID that shouldn't have happened. The shutdowns caused extensive damage as far as learning, but also emotional, social, and the teachers are reporting that, you know, where kids come to school, they don't know how to mind rules anymore. They don't know how to sit down and follow directions. And the younger ones, I'm talking kindergartners, are coming in without, you know, the ability to follow instructions and have a routine, because they were deprived of that. So the big villain here is the COVID and then the ensuing shutdown that has caused extensive damage that every school district is now trying to recover from.
Well, and before we get into this, so SD 49 is in El Paso County. What area does that entail?
It's considered the northeast. It's so along the Powers Corridor, Highway 21, and east of it.
Okay. And you are running for re-election. You're on the board currently, and this election is in November of 21. And before we get into, all this, a couple of times we want to get your information out there in case, and people should be helping these people that are stepping forward to run for school board because the teachers union has really kind of bought and paid for a lot of school boards for many years, and now we're seeing the effects of that. So how can people help you, Ivy Lou?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, teachers union. El Paso County, the second largest conservative county in the country. Every single board has a majority of liberals where they are steering the school districts towards policies that are not the viewpoint of many of the communities, actually. And especially in D49, we have a 70-80% conservative population. And when I came in, I actually was appointed for about 5 months ago because of a vacancy. And when I came in, it was the first time any school board in El Paso County had a conservative majority. And thank goodness for that, because we were able to move some things forward. We took masks off K-5 immediately, and we banned CRT in August. And we are the first district in the state of Colorado to do that. Now, other states are trying to follow suit and go after the same things, including people from out of state. There's a couple of states that have reached out to us and asked us for information so they can model what we did. So That is good news.
Yeah, Ivy, a couple of things, and this is, and you've said you've done a lot of studying on education, but I want to talk about a couple of words, because words really matter. And what you have said is that this district is primarily conservative. However, in El Paso County, most of the school boards actually, you said, use the word liberal. And the classical liberal education, so again, this is so interesting about words, but the founders, the classical liberal education is one of those educations, and I had a great public classical liberal education where we teach kids how to read and write and do arithmetic and critical thinking, science, history, all of those things. And that is what I consider a classical liberal education. But when you talk about a conservative, I've been working to take this word back. The word conservative means to conserve these ideas that America was founded on, that all men are created equal, with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That is noble. That is worth pursuing. Now, the word liberal, now there are people that used to be classical or, you know, a liberal. But I think that the Democrat Party has left that, because when you say liberal now, it's this radical activist leftist ideology. And that is who we have representing, if you will. I don't think they listen to families on many of these school boards. So that's my understanding of those words. Do you want to bite off on that at all?
I do. And, you know, and that's why I hesitated when I said liberal. Really not sure what the correct word is to use. Maybe I should say leftist instead. You know, it's hard to try to speak on topics like this without offending somebody.
That's true.
I've been really good at that the last 5 months.
Well, you know, but I'm gonna paraphrase a Maggie Thatcher quote, and that is if you're not offending somebody, then you're not standing for anything.
That is true. So, yeah, but to answer your question, yes, there are many words that have been hijacked, especially when it comes to the area of CRT, as I'm sure you know, words like equity and social or justice and so on used to be good words, and now they've been hijacked and used under the umbrella of CRT, but we won't even go there right now. CRT has been banned in C-49. To me, it is history. We have put a policy down. And unless the board gets taken over again by the leftists, that ban is going to stay. And that's what I worry about. That's why I'm running for the election, so that we can preserve that majority on the board, and then therefore not allow anybody external coming in to try to take away that CRT ban off of D49. That's probably one of the biggest reasons I'm running. And obviously to address the biggest elephant in the room, which is the literacy issue.
Which is the what issue?
Literacy, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So before we get into that, you have two colleagues that are also running for school board. If you just toss their names out, that would be great.
That is all. Yes, I was going to do that anyway, because I'm so excited about the idea that, so D49 is divided into five districts, sub-districts. I'm running for one of the sub-districts, which is four. In another district, we have Jamie Lynn Davola, D-A-V-O-L-A. She is a elementary school teacher who is well-versed in what she does. She's not just any elementary school teacher. She is the lead teacher after only 13 years at the school that she's teaching. And she is well-versed in education. And we're so excited to have somebody on the board who is well-versed that we can go to and ask questions. But obviously, I have very good relationships with many of the principals and zone leaders. And so when I do have questions, I have gone to them, and they have helped me a lot. But to have somebody actually on the board to help us make decisions, I'm really excited about that. So, again, that's Jamie Lynn Davola. And then in the third sub-district that's up for re-election this November is Lori Thompson. She's a lifelong resident here in Colorado Springs, and she is passionate about special education, education period, and kids. And so we have been talking a lot, and we share some really good and common goals about where we want the district to go. We are single-minded about getting the kids back on track in reading and math skills, and not just to meet the average, but to make them soar. I mean, the kids should learn to soar in these skills that can take them places in, you know, in their lives that they will not have if they don't have these skills conquered and, you know, mastered.
Oh, absolutely. So question, does everybody in SD 49 vote for all of you, or is it by district? How does that election work?
It is by district. So for Jamie Lynn, only those that's north of Stetson Hills along the Powers Corridor, you would only know this if you live here, can vote for Jamie Lynn. And for myself, it's all those residents between Stetson Hills and North Carefree can vote for me. And then for Lori, it would be everything south of North Carefree. But people that live here would not understand that more.
Okay. So that is, so just to get that out there, it's Ivy Lou and then Jamie Lynn Davola and Lori Thompson. Now,
that is correct.
I tell you, Ivy, it breaks my heart to think that we are graduating kids that can't read and write and do arithmetic and critically think about these different issues out there. And it is a crime. And instead, the CRT, this critical race theory, or they just rename it. Once everybody starts to understand it, then it's another name. But it's teaching kids, it's this Marxist ideology of oppressors and oppressed, which is antithetical to this idea of if every kid, they're an individual and they have the tools, that they can soar, they can pursue their dreams. And so you mentioned literacy, that one of the key things, and of course they talk about race and slavery, you know, that's one of the big narratives out there. And typically with slavery is people didn't know how to read. One of the most freeing things that you can do is know how to read. And you mentioned literacy. So, and kind of we have had some really dismal scores on some of our testing. So talk to me about that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you mentioned the slaves and how we really free them other than physical freedom was to educate them, right? I mean, that's a very good point, Kim. So one of the things I brought up recently was that we have to attack this problem with basic academic skills, because in the long term, and this is based on many sociological studies, people who cannot read or write develop emotional problems because they know there's something very basic they need to be able to do that they cannot. This affects self-esteem. This affects has sociological consequences. And so what happens? If you lose them by a third grade, studies have shown that if you don't capture them by a third grade with these basic skills, everything starts to go downhill. Not just their academic performance, but emotional sense of well-being, belonging, all of that starts to go downhill. And unless somebody just takes very intended measures against them falling down through the cracks, they will become the dropouts and eventually the criminals. And I was attacked for making that statement, for saying that I'm insulting dropouts. No, it is a sociological trend that we need to capture and stop. And that was exactly my point, is that we have, as educators, they have the ability to control what goes on in these kids' lives when they grow up. And it is our responsibility to make sure that every step of the way they are empowered, enriched, equipped. And that's kind of my motto for my campaign, that we may be the only ones doing it, because they may not come from families that that do that or have the abilities to do that. They may be working three jobs. Parents may be working three, four jobs. So the schools have to take up the slack. Obviously, it's not part of the original, mission, but they are in the place to do that, to ensure that every kid that goes through the school system succeed. And so anyway, by pointing out these trends, it's not to put anybody down who may currently be struggling, but it is a huge clue to say we need to help to make sure that these kids don't end up there. But if they do end up there, and D49 is well known for having a school, Gold's High School, that address these wonderful kids that do succeed after they stumbled a little bit. But it doesn't take away from the fact that we need to prevent as much as we can kids from falling into that category way beforehand, starting with elementary grades. And well, so all three of us are very passionate about that, that we do the preventive in addition to the mitigative.
That's so important, Ivy. And as you do this, this can be a model for the country. Because our kids, this is not just a Colorado thing. This is nationwide that our kids have been falling behind. No parent wants their child to fall behind on this. And it's very difficult to get third grade back once it's been somewhat wasted. So a couple of things. My dad always said to me that each of us has 24 hours in a day, and we choose what we do with those 24 hours, and we reap the benefits and the consequences of whatever our choices are on that. Same thing with the school day. There's only a certain amount of hours in the school day. And if we're taking teachers' resources and classroom time, pushing this agenda of sexualizing our children through, you know, just all the stuff out there, as well as the CRT, which is divisive and it really hurts our kids. If we're taking the school day and focusing on that and then not teaching them to read, write, and do arithmetic, there's a real problem with that. So we need to reclaim what education really is. How are you going to do that, Ivy?
Well, I'm starting by studying trends in the last decade, because C49 was doing well and actually was on its way up with these scores and other components of measure. And so I am actually in close conversation with the Board of Education, the State Board of Education, to get some data to figure out what it is that's causing us to decline. Not so much to find fault, okay, but we cannot just keep addressing the symptoms without knowing the cause, right?
Absolutely.
And so what caused the decline leading up to 2019, where one out of two kids are below benchmark and two out of three kids are below benchmark in math? So the first one out of two was for reading. It's actually 48%. And then for math, it's two out of three kids are below benchmark or grade level or grade level expectations. And so I'm doing that now as we speak. You know, whether I get reelected, of course, I very much hope that I can get reelected so I can continue this work. There's no glory in being a board member, honestly. Either you want to do something for the district I guess there are people that are on the board that just won the title and the glory. But no, I mean, it is hard work.
It is.
Unpaid work, but I want to stay on so I can possibly help make a change and finding out why. Why did we decline to begin with? It's not just demographic graphics, because it's all across the board as far as, you know, different parts of the a county, wealthier or not, and country. And so it's not just socioeconomic. So what's causing this? And once we put a finger on it, I'm a scientist, you know, by training. So once we put a finger on the cause, then we have a lot quicker solution than just addressing the symptoms. Although, you know, addressing the symptoms, let me tell you, I have met some of the most awesome principals and administrators, including zone leaders, who are just all about the kids. They are so dedicated. They're working not just an 8-hour a day work, you know, job. They are bending over backwards. I don't know if I'm free to mention some names, but Lisa Zillow of Remington Elementary, and Kim Morris of Ridgeview. And some of the zone leaders like Dan Snowberger. Oh my gosh, when I visit with them, I am inspired, because they are working their tails off as far as getting the kids back on track. That is the only concern. There is the only passion. And they are working overtime, just coming up with answers on how to get our kids back on track. And that just inspires me. It makes me want to work with them, work harder than I ever thought I could, to try to steer the rest of the machine, the district, towards those goals. And there are many other principals, okay, that are just working and working. In my humble opinion, because I'm more familiar with organizational management coming from, you know, my Navy days, the organization has to move in the same direction with a single vision. And Lisa actually put this really well. We need to have collective efficacy. The district needs to have a shared vision of you know, the single-mindedness about putting the kids back on track. And again, in my own words, not just back on track, but to soar beyond that. Because when you soar, you can do anything in life. And that's what education is about. So I am definitely very passionate about that. I thank my parents for that, for putting that into me. And I thank God for putting that into me. But yeah, if the district as a whole can put all these hardworking principals and teachers and administrators together in one direction, pull in the same direction, this district is going to go into places beyond that we can't even think about. I mean, can't even imagine. So yeah, we need to have that collective efficacy and to just get kids up to where they need to be going and beyond. No, and Lisa's words, no negotiations.
I like that. Yeah. I'm not sure there's a whole lot to add to that, but how would you like to button up this podcast? What's the final thought you'd like to leave with everyone?
Well, I mean, again, it's getting the district to go on that single-minded vision together. You know, you don't have five horses drawing in different directions, right? We draw in the same direction. And that takes skills, that takes a board decision, that takes a board majority. And again, you know, nobody runs for the board for the glory of it. At least few people run for the board for the glory of it. You either want to do something for the kids or you don't. And so it's back to just being reelected and hopefully getting these other two ladies who are so passionate about the same things. And obviously we have two people on the board that consist, you know, that makes up that conservative majority that we have now, John Graham and Rick Van Wieren, sorry. And we can just do wonderful, amazing things. Once we put politics aside, we stop trying to pull the district in different directions based on our political beliefs, if we're all going in the same direction. So it is very important that myself, Jamie Lynn, and Lori get elected on the board so we can, my gosh, do massive things for the district together rather than spending board time, board meetings, arguing from different sides of the spectrum.
Okay, and what is your website, Ivy?
My website is elect, really easy, elect Ivy, I-V-Y, so ElectIvy.com.
ElectIvy.com, and again, those other two candidates are Jamie Lynn Davola and Lori Thompson. Ivy, thank you. I am just inspired as well. I've been so concerned about our children, and this is very inspiring. So thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
My goodness. Thank you, Kim, for spending the time to spearhead, basically, a movement, I think, in our county, in our state, that's going to, I hope, you know, end up in a wonderful place.
Well, thank you for stepping forward. Indeed, we are to have a representative government, and to have these three women step forward to represent parents and families in the community in School District 49 is great. So, Ivy, thank you so much. My friends, thank you for joining this podcast. God bless you, and God bless America.